I hate Zell more than anything. I hate Zell 10 times more than Kate Sith.
Zell is maybe one of the worst Final Fantasy characters I can think of.
He cartwheeled into this. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 178, a Patreon pool.
Patreon pool episodes are always so fun.
They're either really good or really not. The we'll games, but the episodes are spectacular, nevertheless. Thank you for all of our patrons. This episode is specifically and especially for you. We can finally move on from our pre-episode discussion about the 2019 Retro Gaming Tournament, because when this episode releases, we will have announced the Ultimate Champion.
Oh my goodness. You know, this thing has been consistently hype. I expected it to kind of die out, but every week there's been so much drama.
Every week there's been drama. Every week there's been hundreds of participants putting in their votes. Every week there's been people flaming us for the decisions that we've made, question mark?
And heartbreak.
And heartbreak. If you haven't been tracking along closely, the fateful four, the final four games we were left with was Link to the Past, Super Mario World, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Mega Man 2. And we're not going to speculate, but again, when this episode releases, when you've listened to this, we will have already streamed the results live. We are streaming live last Sunday,
last night,
or whenever Sunday you're listening to. We've streamed the results live on our Twitch channel, and we are going to take that recording, edit down the audio into an episode that we will release here shortly. So make sure you're subscribed to NGP on the podcast provider of your choice, and keep a lookout for the results episode where we talk about the bracket at large, talk about those final four, let you know who those final two are, and then, of course, announce the ultimate champion.
We're going full ESPN style. Do you got your suits ready?
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
I do.
Isn't that the weather noise?
I don't know.
I don't either.
So as we're pushing that to the side, do want to tell you this very quickly because it's completely applicable. A 20-year-old Doom record has finally been broken.
A speedrun record?
Speedrun record.
Wow.
Wow. That's
in 1998, the first level of Doom was beaten in 9 seconds.
9 seconds, huh?
9 seconds. That's nuts.
Wow.
20 of course, years? It was thought to be unbeatable back in 1998. Mm-hmm. How do you trim off? And you get the, in the screen at the end of the stage, you get just like a solid number, right? 9, 10, 11, 12. But in the file, you get 9.8, 9.9. Yeah. That record was like at a 9.8, 9.9. So it was a whole second for the most part that had to be shaved off in order to beat that record. But Four Shock Blast just recently beat the record and completed the game in 8 seconds. And of course, that is what a coincidence with the game of the week, but shaved off an entire second and beat the record.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But how? So there's only so much you can do to beat a video game record like that.
Sure.
Because like perfect inputs, yes. Frame rate would come into play. Or
possibly
not. I don't know.
In this one, when you watch the video, and I'll link it in Discord this week, you've got the speed boost that you get from taking damage.
Yeah.
You've got frame perfect movement in opening the two or three doors that you have to open.
Right.
You've got to keep your momentum. Like it's just a series of things that it's amazing because we typically watch speedruns, right? Sometimes that are lengthy or long, or it takes, and you can have error, right?
Sure.
But a one stage 9 second, now 8 second run.
No room.
It's got to be perfect.
No room for error. That's impressive.
I can't even imagine.
There was a GoldenEye record like that not too long ago that was broken like that. And you should go watch the guy commentate it like after the fact. He's like so hype.
The thing that's kind of cool is, so I've watched speedruns, of course, but it's usually full game speedruns in like unique categories. I don't know if I've ever watched single stage speedruns, and I kind of love the idea.
I think it's cool too. The GoldenEye one was the same. It was like one level and it's only seconds long, so you can attempt it like a ton of times, but like only one person will ever beat it. That's 20 years is an impressive record though.
Oh, sure. And he beat the record by getting 8 seconds, but do you know what would be even more amazing than that?
If he beat the record by getting 7 seconds?
Yeah, seven would be better than eight.
Here we go. Okay.
Like in our retro game of the week, Final Fantasy VIII.
Starting off.
Overview.
So Final Fantasy VIII is the eighth game, go figure.
What?
The eighth main installment, at least.
I wasn't questioning
you, Kenny. Get with the program.
You're off.
Okay, so it came out in 1999 and had the very tall order of trying to follow up Final Fantasy VII, which was absolutely an insane hit. This came out on PlayStation and I think is best known as a title for new things that they wanted to try. Now, every Final Fantasy game kind of reworks a number of, I don't know, kind of givens. But rarely do they sort of take the format and say, hey, we're going to veer off somewhere totally experimental. And Final Fantasy VIII does that a little bit. It's got a very, very unique, that we'll talk about, magic system, where they kind of roll a whole bunch of different systems into one very confusing system that they call junctioning. And we'll talk through that a little bit. But then it also does a number of other firsts. It's the first time that they tried to make their characters actually look somewhat human with normal proportions. It's the first that had, I'm trying to think, some of the other things, vocal theme music. And anyhow, they
it's the first one to go a lot more sci-fi too. Like, it's
absolutely
you've got sci-fi elements in many games in the series, but Eight is so much more than that, right?
Yeah, this one's sort of that mashup of sci-fi and fantasy, and you get it before, but not nearly as much as here.
Well, there's a lot less fantasy here, right? There's not castles. It's like a military school that flies around.
I would say Seven did that too, though.
You've got Guardian Force heroes. And you,
Guardian Force Heroes.
They're not forces.
Is that a game?
Guardian.
I think that's a different game we played.
What's the F in GF? They're Guardian
Girlfriend.
Force. No, you're right. It's Guardian Force.
Gotcha. You've got these Guardian Forces, and you cast magic, and like, there's lots of fantastic things about it. Regardless of the uniqueness of it, it was a big title that came out, did pretty well, but because of some of the unique things that they did, been a little bit divisive in how some of the fan base took it since then. So I think it'll be a fun one to see you guys' opinions on.
Yeah. So I had never played this game. It's the only Final Fantasy I've never played once.
Really?
Until this week, yes. Excluding side games. I'm only counting, the main titles.
Right. Kind of main series.
And there's a reason I hadn't played it. And it's because this game's got a really bad reputation with Final Fantasy fans. I almost called it polarizing, but it's almost overwhelmingly negative that Final Fantasy fans view this game. Is that fair to say? At least that's what I've experienced, on the outside of
I don't know. The Final I feel like Fantasy I've heard world. Of some people who enjoy it. It's definitely divisive. I don't know where that line of enjoy versus scoff at the uniqueness lies. I think I know
what Dustin thinks.
Well, I would say out of the modern Final Fantasies, this one's probably the most divisive one. That being said, I would stick with that. There are titles, 13 you've already mentioned is one of them.
Yeah.
8, 5, 2. There's different Final Fantasy titles that are divisive just at large. And then every game is going to have its fans and its haters.
Sure.
But I do think that 8 had a hard act to follow. And yeah. it was in an era that, and they, Square was just attempting new things and with their systems and different things that they were going for, that it just was fairly polarizing. So yeah, I would probably say, at least out of the modern titles, that it's the one that has the most hate. I think I could fairly say that.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of story for us, Kenny?
yeah. So you play as Squall, Leonhardt. Is that right?
I think that's good. Kingdom Hearts fans might know him as Leon.
Leon.
Right?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, Leon. Yeah, I'm so glad you knew that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kingdom Hearts obviously has a lot of Final Fantasy characters in it, but they like rename them. So right. he's not Squall, he's Leon to me.
Well, and at least, see, I'm okay with that because it's still within. It's his last name, and he just cut it down. And I believe there's even story reasons for it in the Kingdom Hearts universe.
There
but.
Is.
Here in Final Fantasy VIII, he is the protagonist and the angsty teen emo.
Well, he's so angsty, and it's annoying. You also get the era so bad. Like, this game came out in 99, and the like
Y2K.
Figures of speech and the lingo, and you get characters dropping sup.
Why are you dissing on me?
All kinds of things that are so, like... cool in the night. I say that very loosely in 1999 that today just make me kind of cringe.
Well, yeah, and that Squall shopped at Hot Topic. Like he's got,
definitely.
I think he's wearing like six belts and like a necklace. He's always wearing this jacket with this like fur on the top, fur collar.
Those are crow feathers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's talk about the most obnoxious part in my mind. The fact that his weapon is a blade, it's a sword that is
really
a gun.
Cool.
It's a gun blade.
It's a gun blade. Yeah, it's actually dope.
It's perfectly 1999.
No,
I will not
exactly. It's
hate.
Trying way too hard. It's a terrible concept. And in 1999, it fit right at home. You know.
All right. Squall's the hero.
Yeah. So Squall, you find, is trying to join this organization called Seed, and it's his. You drop into the game, and after a lengthy and absolutely terrible tutorial process. You get to, you can scoff at that if you want, but I'll stick by it. You get to immediately jump into a test to see whether or not you can join this new organization. You get sent off on this wild adventure. And then, of course, as soon as the story picks up and you get to start doing some seedy things, everything gets much more bigger. The fate of the universe is at stake, as always. There's a sorceress. It just
time travel.
Yeah, it just gets really Final Fantasy-y pretty quick. But that's sort of your main characters. He of course has a love interest that he falls for.
It's a big part of the plot.
Oh yeah, but that's not a surprise either. Like Final Fantasy is gonna Final Fantasy.
Gameplay.
So the gameplay of Final Fantasy games, modern Final Fantasies, Dustin used that word earlier. I didn't know that's what we called these, but I guess starting at seven was kind of the turn of the century for the genre, for the series, because it went 3D and added unique stuff to the battle system. And eight has some of the same core Final Fantasy gameplay elements, right? You're navigating a 3D environment, an overworld, a localized like town world, or, you know, wherever you are. And then you have random battles. So that's very familiar to me, at least. Again, I came into this game for the first time. So all that felt the same. The biggest thing that I think is way different about this game is that the battle system is not as simple as you would expect. If you're coming from seven, say you played seven in the 90s and you're going to eight very excited, you might be a little disappointed in the magic system mainly.
I don't know if disappointed is even the right word, and maybe ultimately disappointed, but at least at first you're going to be confused because it's crazy complex.
Huge learning curve. And the only way really to get trained in it and to grasp it, I guess you've got two options. One, you can guess until things start to make sense. But if you guess and don't have much experience, even if you do in the RPG universe, then you're still going to get lost, I think, and not know some of the identifications and some of the classifications and different things it's trying to communicate. Or that's the one option. Or you can sit down at Squall's desk in his classroom and go through every single tutorial and play the first 3 hours learning the new and different mechanics of the game.
Did y'all do that? Because I did not do that.
No, I most certainly did not. That sounds like the worst idea.
I did at least some. Kenny did a first play this week, which it's always great to watch Kenny do like a Final Fantasy first play.
30 minutes.
It's everything different than I would have ever done. I'm taking things slow. He is running head on,
not grinding anything,
straight to the first, like, quote unquote boss, and like just running heads on. And
in a little bit of fairness, some of that, not all of that, we definitely play games differently, but some of that is just the pressure of like, yes, this is a first play and I'm supposed to be entertaining people.
That's fair.
Right.
And I was seeing all these tutorial things and these cutscenes and I'm like, this is boring. Let's skip it and give people a taste of the game. And so I really was trying to do that.
Well, and you did. And, congratulations.
Right. But even with that, it took a long time to get into it and, you know, sort of have any sense at all.
No, I don't know, but I've got one word that really describes my experience with this game and my feelings towards a lot of the systems, and I think a lot of people would agree. It's the word's not bad, and it's not horrendous, and it's not great. It's not either one of those extremes. Everything about this Final Fantasy game to me is just weird.
Convoluted.
Well, weird. Convoluted, of course. Yeah, that fits in there. But like, so the battle system, yes, is like Final Fantasy, but is weird. The magic system is similar to Final Fantasy, but weird. In most Final Fantasy titles, the Square goes a unique angle. It's going to have some familiar tropes. You're going to recall some of the magic names. You're going to have something comparable to a Limit Break, but they always do it slightly different. And for the most part, I always appreciate those things and and they feel Final Fantasy still. But to me, in Final Fantasy VIII, like, you can see that they are similar or connected or from the same world, but they just feel weird. Like, they're almost there, but not.
Right. It feels Final Fantasy-ish. The normal flow of, like, menuing a fight and selecting some things and your characters having to wait their turn and the little countdown clock thing, like, all of that's pretty normal.
Well, okay, so the junction system is the thing we've been talking around this whole time. You don't traditionally have your magic. So in 7, it was materia. In later games, you learn the magic, you can equip it. In this game, you're using the junction system, which includes GFs or guardian forces, which are basically summons. And that's not new to Final Fantasy. You've had summons in every game. And usually they're like a final, but just like a really strong hit that you can't use all the time. But when you use it, it's epic and it's cool. But in this case, you're not really calling on some like big summon. You're drawing your magic from the enemy, and there's even a thing in the menu called draw, and so that was the most, like, that's what stopped me in my tracks. I paused the game and I had to read a lot online, but once I read it, I accepted it. I didn't think it was that weird.
That's interesting. There's a few things there you talked about, really three different things, but that are all connected, and that's GFs, junction system, and draw. And I don't want to get into like a lot of the details because then it will be like all of our listeners are sitting down at their desk and reading the tutorial section. But the thing that is unique here is that draw mechanic is key, and you don't really have this in other games. Maybe it's similar to like acquiring the blue magic in some of the Final Fantasies where you learn the enemy spells. But in this game, you go around and there's either draw spots or from enemies where you can draw from them, and you draw the magic that they have, the enemy or the spots, and then you're party members have a certain number. So you can draw four cures from a draw spot, or you can draw eight lightnings or thunders from an enemy. And then you have eight of those thunders to use on an enemy.
It's like an inventory of magic.
Yeah, it's an inventory of magic, and you can use that magic. Or you can you can use the magic that the enemy has before even equipping it. So it's this weird convoluted thing that then you junction that drawn magic to different parts of your character's stats to enhance their abilities.
That's where it got weird.
That's where it gets so confusing, yeah, even with the description, because you're just given these abbreviations. Like, here's one I really just copy-pasted. It's this. And it's going to sound so confusing, so just prepare yourself and try to figure out what it means before I say. But it's capital ST dash ATK slash capital ST dash DEF.
Strength, attack, strength, defense.
Okay. Now, yes, those are the correct words, but now what in the world does that mean? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And now you've played the game a little bit this week, and you've played RPGs before, maybe even know Final Fantasy, so you can maybe suss that out. But for someone that's coming in, that is so convoluted, Kenny, and that is so weird. Dustin.
it's both of those things. And that was even just a basic description. From there, you can get into where some of your GFs can turn items into some kinds of magic. And then later on, you get cards that are only available through the like side card game that can then be worked into this junction system and give you skills as well. And then each of those skills can be customized like completely. You don't have typical classes or characters or magic. You play each person totally how you want and level up the things you want. So you can have characters that are strong or weak or magic casters or aren't. You can have GFs that you actually use to summon and attack with. And you have GFs that can just buff you. And I say all of those things and still don't fully wrap my head around the system because it's weird.
The thing that gets me... I like to feel like my characters are specialized and my characters are auto leveling in a way that like the game is assigning the correct stuff for me. That's a lazy way to play. It's not everyone's preference, but even Materia and Seven stressed me out sometimes combining them and taking them off some characters and putting them on other characters. I want my healer to be my healer always. And the fact that the magic in this game feels disposable, like you're using a potion kind of in your items, gets to me. Like, I'm like, I don't like that because I want to know that I can cast that spell later. I'd rather use the MP. There's no mana. Right. There's no MP in this game. It's just you use an item, essentially.
Yeah, and that's weird when also that item is what is boosting your stats. And so if you've got it junction to your health stat, so it gives you extra health, and you use a cure, then that brings your stat down because you are junctioning that cure to your health stat. It's super... convoluted here, but I just don't. It sets you up to one have to just stay in a battle for a long time and draw after draw after draw, so you can get 99 of each of these things, and then it encourages you not to use your magic so that you can like have the best stats for each of your characters.
And I would say you can kind of get away with doing something totally new if you find a really good way to teach it. To make this foreign thing that you're introducing that doesn't feel the same not seem intimidating and be really, really understandable. But I don't think they do a good job of that. I know there's the sort of in-depth desk tutorial and like that helps, but I don't think you fully understand the ramifications of what you do and how until you've gotten so far into this game. And the way that they do try and teach you the things is so fast and so... kind of all over the map. You just walk around confused, afraid to use any of your skills, just sort of hacking your way through this game unless you either take the time to learn or just do a whole lot of experimenting.
Another thing that I think they did to balance that out, the battle system and the way that you're like losing stats as you use magic, kind of, it's like the way that enemy levels are calculated in this game, it's not traditional Final Fantasy. It's dynamic. So enemy levels change depending in the difficulty of them or whatever you want to call it, change depending on your team's average level.
Right. And I can understand where some people would like that, but I hate that.
It makes it hard to do the traditional grinding. You know, sometimes you like to do that. Sometimes it's necessary. But in this case, it's like you're always kind of, you always feel, or at least I always felt like I was at the wall, you know, where you're not owning things, like one shotting and hit two hitting them. You're like always struggling to beat a crap mob. And it's
and again,
but you also don't have the option to get there. And a lot of people want that.
No, why do you think you have the option to get there? Before you even go and get the first GF, which is Ifrit or Ifrit, however you're going to pronounce it, or something entirely else. So but in your first play duration, Kenny, before you even do that, you can technically level up each of your characters to level 100. And then you can go through the rest of the game, and it's not easier because your bosses and enemies have more HP.
Oh, yeah.
On some of your bosses, they've got new abilities.
I wonder
and
if they're
moves.
Unbeatable at some levels, you know?
And so, yeah. Well, and so like I get why some people would like that, the challenge, right? But in Final Fantasy games, yeah, the challenge, I want there to be that, but I want to get to a point once I get the legendary weapons, that's not what they're called, and I level up enough, and I equip my magic properly, and I do all these things. I want to feel like I am powerful. And I think that causes you to lose that sense of growth and character, like development, not of like their story, but of their power. And of course it didn't work. This isn't just biased because they haven't done that in any other Final Fantasy game since.
And I think it even like a variation of it could work, but they just sort of work against themselves. They like they set up this system that discourages grinding intentionally by saying your enemies are going to be based on your level, period, which could be great and let you get really into story and really have these dynamic boss battles that you have to be on your toes and strategize. But then they do a magic system where your use of magic depends on fighting enemies again and again and again. So they're like, oh, don't worry. You don't have to grind at all. Just kidding. You still have to.
One of the things that I hate most... Sorry, not one of the things. What? The thing that I hate most about Final Fantasy VIII is the characters.
Really?
Wow.
I don't connect with not a one of them.
Is it just the like real 90s stereotypes? Or what is it about them?
That might be part of it. But so Squall is whiny, emo. I can get over that because so was Cloud, right? If it was just him, then I would be fine. But Irvine is the worst. And then Zell is worse than him.
Zell is maybe the worst. I hate
Zell more than anything. I hate Zell 10 times more than Kate Sith. I would cuddle Kate Sith and enjoy it long before I shake hands with Zell.
Zell is maybe one of the worst Final Fantasy characters.
He cartwheeled into this. just went for it.
He is really bad.
Zell. And then he gives a thumbs up and grins. Oh, no, Zell.
Yeah,
Zell,
the face tattoo.
Yeah, everything about him, I don't want to keep talking about it.
We don't need to linger on it.
I kind of want to pull up a soapbox and get out of the way and let you get on it just because kind of hilarious.
I'm stepping down. Zell is a really bad character, but I don't connect with any of them. I eventually start to enjoy a little bit Squall, but like, I don't know. I'm not connected to
Isn't Cypher even the worst? Like,
yeah, Cypher.
Terrible, but for no reason.
The first enemy, just a jerk. Like, yeah, it's
not,
just
not a really great enemy.
There's not depth in any of them. They're like teenagers, and I know that's what their age is, but they're acting like the most annoying, pretentious, Hot Topic, you know, like dressed. It's too much, and I don't connect with any of them.
And it's also the writing. Because apparently 8 was one of the better English translations and localizations out of the series. So like they actually did a great job with like language and what they're actually saying in the script. And so I think it was just really rough character development from the developers. Like the Rinoa and Squall relationship thing, that it's actually a really like, you have to focus on it. It's like the plot of the story, and they're hugging on the dang logo. So if you're not into that, you will not like this story. I personally, I'm pretty neutral. I expect cheesy. I expect bad writing. So I didn't play enough to, unfortunately, to really have a stance on what I think of the characters, because I think you really need to beat the game. But it's a rough start, I'll say that.
I think the opening cutscene is actually really, really cool. The feathers bother me to no end, and I don't know why.
It works for me. I think that's one of the best intros to any Final Fantasy.
Oh, it's epic. The music is great. It looks more realistic than the others. Sure, you're still PlayStation era graphics. It's not like perfect, but it looks good. It's epic. You get these characters that aren't fantastic. And like, the bar for me of this could be a really amazing epic love story was just like plopped down there. And I also didn't get far enough into the game to really see if it ever got there. But when I was sort of first introduced to each of these characters and realized, no, they feel cheesy, there better either be a ton of development or I'm just going to feel like they shorted me with this awesome intro. And I think it was the latter.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem is that to really get into and enjoy this game, well, it's not going to happen for everybody, but two, if you want it to happen to you, it's going to take a few hours of investment before you start getting fully connected.
True.
Because it is a robust and thick and difficult and poorly explained system and game at the start. And so it's going to take you really digging in and not letting go before you're finally starting to feel comfortable with the game.
Yeah, you say a few, and I think it may even be more than that. Like, this is a long game, all of these worlds are, but I have a sense just from the amount of time I put in that you won't really feel invested in the big picture story and that you understand what's going on unless you've already played it or follow a bunch of guides or whatever. But in a like raw blind playthrough, I don't feel like you would really truly connect deeply to this game until like hour 4 to 6, if then.
Aged.
So here in the aged section, we talk about graphics, we talk about music, we talk about playability today. I want to say from the start here in the aged section that the graphics are not near as bad as I remember.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, there was just, it was blocky. We've all seen the meme of Squall's face at the dance, just completely pixelated. Okay, so sure, there are some low-poly characters, some low-poly scenes, but the pre-rendered backgrounds are beautiful. The school even that you travel around in is well done. Most of the characters are well done too. Of course, the animations and the cutscenes, those are great. But I even think for the most part, the graphics are not near as bad as what is said about this game quite often.
Right. So this game, they went for realism on most fronts, actually. So up until this point, Final Fantasy characters were either sprites, chibis, I hate that word, or Final Fantasy VII, which is just a series of bulbous shapes. And I didn't think the execution was that bad. Yeah, his face looks stupid at times, but so does Cloud's and a lot of people's faces in VII. So it's like, I respect the experimentation on the graphical front. This is PlayStation 1. It's really, the cutscenes were great. The pre-rendered cutscenes.
For sure.
It's in that weird, like, in-between stage of video games where it doesn't feel retro and it's like, oh, it's just an old game. It feels like it's supposed to be modern, but then it just doesn't pull it off. And so it's got that to overcome if you're going to go back and play it. But given that fact, they did a great job with what they had to work with.
As for music, I mean, it's still our boy, what's his name? Nobuo.
I think it's good, but I don't think every song, every piece is a hit.
Yeah, I actually like you saying that, Dustin. Because some of the classic themes that they carry on are welcome. Like, hey, you finish a battle, you know you just finished a Final Fantasy battle. Like, awesome. A few of the songs, like I talked about, the score kinds of songs, there were some really cool ones, that whole opening scene. But then some of the cheesy stuff they did in certain towns, and during triple triad matches and a couple of other things, I just felt like they went for this sort of upbeat, bubbly kind of energy that didn't match anything else. And some of the songs actually kind of turned me off, I'll be honest.
Interesting. I was a big fan of most of the ones I heard. I didn't get super far, but the school song was kind of a hit for me. The one that's playing when you're just at the battle school, the, or whatever.
Balam theme song. Or
I really like that one.
You're in so many battles in these games, and I thought the boss music was good, but I thought the casual battle music was lackluster. And that's one that you hear time and time again. The victory fanfare was fine, but again, the battle music I thought was not that great. And so none of it is enough to be like, wow, this is bad, or what happened to the soundtrack or anything like that. Like, it's still a beautiful OST, but some of the Final Fantasy games have some of the best OSTs of all time. True. And this one doesn't match up. The game is relatively easy to play. You can play it on Steam. You can play it a few different ways. You can't play it on Switch, though.
They just ignored it.
Well, they did, and there's a theory, or some people are saying that there's a lost source code, so they can't remake it easily. I don't know how much there is to that, but I mean, maybe it was in an era where people could just like misplace. Oops, we finished this game. I guess we'll toss this in the trash. We won't need this again.
I've got a theory that they just want to scrub it from the internet, like just get rid of
just
it.
Act
completely.
Like it didn't happen.
Yeah. They're just like, no.
Either way, you can still get your hands on it. But it's in a series called Final Fantasy, if you've heard it before. And so if you like 8 or you're interested in hopping into the series, actually, this would be interesting. I was being facetious. But if very quickly, Nolan Kinney, if you are telling someone who hasn't played a Final Fantasy game before to start on this Final Fantasy title, of the mainline Final Fantasy titles, which one would you tell them?
I would recommend 15. Because it's the most modern and easy to jump into.
All right. Just start on 15. What about you, Kenny?
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like the right answer is 10, but I'm going to be a purist and assume that this person likes retro video games. Maybe they don't. Gosh. But if they're listening to our podcast, they probably do. So 1, like, go back and just get it from the beginning and then play through the evolution.
So wrong on many accounts. 1 is a horrible start to this.
I had forgotten.
No, you haven't played it in a while. I had forgotten, and I went back and tried to play it. It is not.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I
you
have
got
played
frustrated.
It in a while. I played it fairly recently.
I would probably say 10 as well.
So solid. 10.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll begin, and I'm just going to kind of like quote one of our listeners. Bradley in Discord this past week said something to the effect of Final Fantasy VIII is a good game, but a bad Final Fantasy game. I tend to agree. I enjoyed it more than I thought that I was going to. I've got a running list of Final Fantasies, and I put them in order as soon as I finish one, and it moves around every once in a while. But in my back three, my least favorite three, Final Fantasy VIII has a place there. It was the second Final Fantasy game for me to play, right after Final Fantasy VII, the game that drew me in and made me the gamer that I am today. And so it was a hard act to follow. I didn't really care for it then, so much so that I haven't come back to it again until our Patreon pool pulled it this last week. And so I enjoyed it more than I thought that I was going to. And I really actually am glad that Square tried to make a different game than Final Fantasy VII. I really think they succeeded in that, but I think they went way too far from that. So far that in many ways, it struggles to feel like a true Final Fantasy title. It's kind of like what they did with their attempt in Final Fantasy II back then, that they tried too many things that didn't work, and it makes it feel unlike what I know and love in the Final Fantasy genre and the Final Fantasy series. So Final Fantasy VIII does not get my vote for New Game Plus status.
I'll jump in. This game, as I mentioned earlier, has a negative reputation. It's infamous for being the worst in the series. And I went into it with that understanding, and I agreed with it. which was unfair because I had never played it. I was like, I had to have a moment this week where I was like, okay, wait a second. I've never played this game. Let me play the game. I watched Kenny's first play first. I stopped halfway through.
Yeah, that probably didn't help you much.
I started the game, and listen, I don't like that people do that about games. And yes, it had a terrible, it had a lot to live up to coming after Seven, one of the greatest, and revolutionary at the time. So they no doubt felt pressure. But to say that it's the worst in the series objectively is stupid. I think the game is fun, and I think it's unfair that it has that reputation. It's not the best one. It's not my favorite one. I would need to beat the whole thing, but I just think that it deserves to be played because it's a modern Final Fantasy, and I think a lot of people, like myself, just listened to the masses and said, no, we don't play that one. We skip it, like Square. But I think you should play it. I'm going to say that it deserves a new game plus. It's a beautiful world, great music. It's a Final Fantasy game, and you should play it.
That's one yes, one no. So it comes down to Kenny. Do you give Final Fantasy VIII your vote for new game plus status?
Normally, I like having the deciding vote on things, but I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. I will say I'm a sucker for games that give you a decently thought out or at least somewhat entertaining side game. Like, I love like mini games in games, and Triple Triad exists. And
you played that?
Yeah, totally. And like, isn't perfect, is, you know, you can figure it out relatively quickly, but is actually kind of interesting, and you've got to learn how things go, and it makes you think a little bit. And so that was welcome. And it's a Final Fantasy game, which is a series I like generally. But besides that, I fell pretty hard into the camp of props for trying new things, but it just kind of didn't deliver. I love some of the ideas of what they attempted to do, but it ended up to me just feeling too muddy. And it's also too just 90s. They didn't tell the story in a way that is as timeless as some of them are told. And it really kind of dates itself, not like graphically, but in text and story and characters. And so a try and a miss on gameplay, definitely not all bad, but there's a reason it's got the rep as one of the worst of a good series. So there's enough better options that I'm going to go ahead and just say skip this one. No new game plus for me.
So Kenny does give Triple Triad his vote for new game plus status, but not Final Fantasy VIII. Meaning Final Fantasy VIII is not new game plus certified.
Rip.
And it kind of stings a little because it's still Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I almost feel like I still made a mistake, but my heart tells me it was the right decision.
No, I mean, go with your gut.
We had many people write in this week, either through email or Discord or through ngppodcast.com in our contact form. I've had to abbreviate these just so we could get through all of them. We can comment quickly on each one. Thank you for writing in. We love it. It's just as we continue to have your interaction, which is amazing, we're just going to have to start culling the list of who can, of which ones, of how many we read.
Yeah.
Carl wrote in and he said, not only is it my favorite Final Fantasy, but also in my top five favorite games ever. The GF/Junction system was top notch for me. And don't get me started on the masterpiece that is the Triple Triad card game.
Nice, Kenny.
I loved all the characters, the story, the combat, everything about this game. Plus, Squall's final move, Lionheart, is better than Cloud's Omnislash. Ooh, fight me.
Them's fighting words.
This game will always hold an extremely special place in my heart because my sister and I used to take turns playing it as kids. Hopefully, you give it cool. New Game Plus, because I do 100 times over.
Look what you guys did.
I stick to it. It's Final Fantasy, but it's Final Fantasy VIII.
It's an experimental game. Like, it is experimental. It's very experimental. I wouldn't call it weird. I would call it experimental. And for some people, it just worked. And I love that.
Absolutely.
Convoluted experimental. Antonin wrote in and he said, while I played only a little of the game, I was struck with how much better the graphics of the game were in comparison to Final Fantasy VII. I'm playing VII right now, and I was surprised at how the game went from awkward, ill-colored blocks to full, detailed models. Watch it, Antonin. I guess that is the difference between early and late PS1 games. Outside of that, the junction system and the lengthy tutorials at the beginning completely turned me off from the game. I'm sure it's a fun game. However, that is not completely obvious in the first 30 minutes of the game. I wish I was still a teenager and had plenty of time to play and explore this game because despite the rough start, I know it's a Final Fantasy game and I know that means it's worth the time.
I think it is fascinating when you look at a console's lifespan and you look at the games that came towards the end and just how better some of the like graphics are and just Absolutely. The way that they're able to push the boundaries of the console itself. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. When developers like get to bleeding edge of what's possible, given one set of resources and some time, it's stark how much that difference can matter sometimes.
Luciano said, this was the first PlayStation era Final Fantasy I ever played. I didn't like it much at first, but after playing through it again, it still feels like a quality RPG. While the mechanics are a bit confusing, I think that quality shows. I definitely didn't go through every tutorial my first time playing because I wanted to get right to playing, so I'm sure this could have been done much better by adding the mechanics little by little rather than all at once. I did think the improvement in graphics at the time were amazing, and of course those cutscenes and the music are still excellent even now. Certain parts of the story could have used some tweaking to be sure, but regardless of whatever faults this game may have, that special quality that the older Final Fantasy games had is here too.
Well said. I think, again, I just don't like it when people diss a game so much and then it just becomes the norm, and then I feel like you lose some games that you might like because everyone's different. You know, someone like Final Fantasy VIII.
And I totally agree. So like our hearts are the exact opposite of our podcast. Don't listen to what we're saying. Go and try out every one of these games for yourself.
It's true.
But at the same time, when we're saying this, we're saying, I mean, these are our opinions and you know that, and we're not professionals and we hate ourselves more than anyone. So Coconut Wizard wrote in and said, I had such high hopes for this game when I first played it, especially after how amazing 7 was. The in-game character models were so much better than 7, and your first mission was to go and catch Ifrit. I don't know, like Ifrit. A giant flaming Pokemon. Things quickly went wonky from there, and the story became a series of cliches and plot holes. The last dungeon was a true challenge, even if you used PC cheats to keep your HP up when you were younger. Not saying that I did that. None of the characters particularly stick out as a favorite, which is unbelievable in a Final Fantasy game. And the final straw is that Zell replaced Tifa as the brawler of the game. Saban in 6 equals awesome. Tifa in 7 equals B.A. Bay. Zell in 8 equals no NGP from me.
Nice. I love the way that he just framed that. That's good.
This game could have been perfect, but if you have Zell in there, then I refuse.
Yeah, you can't replace Tifa with
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that cartwheel got you good, huh?
Michaelism finally wrote in and he said, 8 is a very interesting game for me. When I originally played it many years ago, it was one of my least favorite Final Fantasy games. I think this was largely due to my inability to give it the chance that it deserved, coming off of the high of Final Fantasy VII. However, playing through it again, I saw the magic it had to offer. Squall is, in my opinion, one of the best developed characters the franchise has to offer. We're giving insight into his growth through internal monologues of his thoughts. They're quite powerful, and we see just how much of a facade his stone-cold demeanor is as we approach endgame. The events leading up to the climax of the first act are some of the best moments the franchise has to offer. It is my hope that many people who dismissed this game years ago give it a fair chance. This is a definite NGP from me.
That's a hot take on Squall.
Yeah, we definitely started by saying this game's divisive.
Yeah, and you get that, right?
And then
yeah.
We had a kind of split decision. I mean, there's only 3 of us. You always get one or the other. That's why it works that way. But, like, then you get that same thing from our listeners. People are like, no way, to, like, this is the best game I've ever played. And I get that because it's just an interesting title, and it's going to work with you or it's gonna not. It's Final Fantasy Sushi, you know, like it or hate it.
Okay.
Thank you guys for writing in. As always, you can send in your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. Go on our Discord, and we've got a commentary channel there, or ngppodcast.com, our contact section. Send in your thoughts about the Retro Game of the Week. We'll include it on our episode. But for now, we're going to put Final Fantasy VIII to the side. We're going to randomly select what game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days from our massive Retro Master list. The link to that Retro Master list can, of course, be found on our website or any of our social media sites. If there's any games that we're lacking, please send them in and we'll be sure to add them to the list. From that massive list, we're randomly selecting now. Nickelodeon.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Great.
1991 was the year that a children's television series came on the air.
I mean,
just a year later, in 2000, was the year where somebody decided to make a Game Boy Color game based on the children's television series.
Oh, no.
This sounds like it's got potential to be awesome.
Well, you know, that's a word.
Sarcasm.
It was also released for the PlayStation in 2001. It was published by THQ.
Okay.
It was developed by Tier Tech Design Studios. Very familiar. We all know them.
Tier Tech.
For the next 7 days, we are going to be playing the game Rugrats. Totally Angelica.
Okay.
Who put this on the list?
So, yeah, that's Bill, my question. Like, Bill? Who knows this game exists, first of all? Second of all, I think I might have played this game.
Third of all, why?
Well, fourth of all,
Angelica's the worst Rugrat.
She's not even a Rugrat.
She's mean.
You're
fifth
right.
of all.
Fifth of all.
I watched this show.
Oh, sixth of all. I did too.
Seven. Final
Seventh
Fantasy.
Of all. I had to stop way after they made like a teenage version of it. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, it was called All Grown Up.
Okay.
Yeah, creative title.
Eighth of all, why do you know that? Ninth of all, is Reptar in this game?
Tenth of all, definitely will be.
We should have stopped at eight.
11th of all, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
12th of all, old man.
And 13th of all, play Rugrats Totally Angelica with us this week.
14th of all, join us in Discord this week. We have a thriving community there. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click on Join Us in Discord. It's that easy.
I can't even keep up with all the conversation that's happening in there day to day.
I know,
anymore.
Dude. I love it.
We want to say a big thank you to all of our patrons that support us on patreon.com. You guys help us to do things like have Patreon pool episodes where you get input into what games we play. And we love those ones, especially when they're divisive. So thanks for all of your support, especially to our producer level supporters. Zion, as always, Grim, Bill, Dear Baby, Zach, and welcoming a new producer this week, 15th of all.
You can always find us on our social media, 16th of all and there 17th of all. Like, but still, like, you can't just replace something. That's not true.
Sure.
Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. You can just go to ngppodcast.com and get links to all of those. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice, and make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. While you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Rugrats Totally Angelica. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still 18th of all.
I'm Lipschitz.
What?
It's Rugrats.
It's a Rugrats reference? Okay.
Why
I wouldn't
do you know
that.
Rugrats so much? And this has been New Game Plus.
You know how he could also beat the record? By completing it in 1 second. Just throwing it out there. Hard to be better than that.
Crickets.
1 second would definitely set the standard, but it wouldn't have the fullness of what 7 seconds would be able to accomplish.
Honestly, making it longer and doing 10 seconds isn't a bad idea.
10 seconds could be revolutionary, but I don't know.
And 13 might be hated a lot, but still, it could have some redeeming qualities.
Yeah, yeah.